what is it that has you on the offensive here?
Well, absolutely, I've seen things in other states, and primarily the amount of money that's being run to put advertising on the air, television and radio and other communications, that are just false and misleading. And the task force, which I belong to, which is a group of lawyers and judges who are interested in reform, are worried about this situation coming to Arkansas. It hadn't come here yet, but we would hate the situation where a false ad or misleading ad worked to elect a justice or a judge on the trial court level to the bench. That would be the worst of all possible worlds.
Let's talk about some of the things the task force has been working on. A voter's guide of judicial candidates is one recommendation. A pledge by judicial candidates to disavow false advertisements. Kind of a watchdog group, a rapid response team for false advertisements that are made by judicial candidates or some third parties. And recusals by judges for excessive campaign contributions. When I'm looking at some of these reforms that have been proposed here, there's really not a price tag on some of those things. I mean, when you look at the voter's guide, there is a price tag with that, but the pledge to disavow the ads, the watchdog group, the recusal, all of that stuff really is pretty low cost.
Pretty low cost, and this is something that's a no-brainer in our judgment. I'm talking about the task force. We equate it to mom and apple pie. I mean, this is something that the voting public should want. Obviously, the voter's guide would enhance voter participation in judicial elections. I hate to admit this, but judicial elections are not at the forefront of everybody's mind. It's usually the governor or senators or representatives. And judicial elections are down ballot. If you had a voter's guide that was put out describing the candidates, we feel like that would enhance participation in judicial elections.
I want to come back to that idea right there, and I think you're being a little generous with people paying attention to the congressional races, too, based on voter turnout this past
Possibly
week.
Possibly so.
But why is some of that stuff not already in place? If it doesn't have a price tag to it, what's preventing it from being implemented?
I think just a catalyst for doing it, and it was a lawyers group and a judges group that really sponsored this task force and just asked us to look at some of these things. And it's not that they haven't been thought about before. It's just that we're bringing it all to a head. And it makes just very good sense from our point of view to have a voter's guide, to have a response team for something that's blatantly false on television or Twitter or Facebook. Let's face it. I mean, what's happening today electronically and by personal media interconnections, you could really have something go viral very quickly. And nobody can respond to it or does respond to it. So we are hopeful that we would have a group in place that could pick up on something like that and say, this is blatantly false, this is not right, and an election should not be determined based on this false information.
And again, we haven't seen that here in Arkansas, but could we see some of these reforms in place by the next cycle of judicial elections?
That's what we're shooting for. I mean, we've made a report on this, we being the task force. We're going to ask for the blessing of the Bar Association and the judicial group in the fall. And hopefully we'll be up and running by the 2014 elections.
Let's talk about the voter's guide that you're talking about here. This is something that would offer some biographical information on these judicial candidates. I contend that voters want to know more about their judicial candidates than just their background and experience. Your canons prevent them from actually speaking on issues or talking about some things, even a little bit more philosophically. Why is that? Why can we not have judges talk like you see U.S. Supreme Court nominees giving their opinions on different things?
Well, that's an excellent question. And the truth of the matter is the United States Supreme Court in 2002 came out with a decision saying that judicial candidates do have political free speech and they can talk about certain issues. I think the reason for the judicial code preventing that from happening had to do with specific cases where you were announcing your point of view before the issue came to the court. I think that was the genesis for it. Of course, then it became broader where you wouldn't go out and say, I'm in favor of right to life or I favor pro-choice. And the suspicion was on the part of the drafters and our court, because we adopt that code, we didn't want people put in a position, judges put in a position where if the issue did come before that judge, then that judge would have already announced his or her viewpoint and would have to recuse.
Can judges, though, could they not talk about some more philosophical issues in terms of precedent or the importance of the Constitution or things that would give you some indication that here is how this person will interpret the law if they're elected to office?
Yes, I think they can, and I think that happens. I think you see candidates saying that if I'm elected to the bench, I'm going to follow precedent. I'm not, and I hate to use a buzzword, I'm not going to be an activist judge. That's a judge that would just disavow or just not adhere to precedent. So I think you do have that in judicial campaigns, and I think that doesn't cause a problem.
Well, I have a suggestion for you. Why, I'm going to suggest that you guys think about going in front of the Joint Judiciary Committee, maybe for some of these appellate court races, the Court of Appeals, the Supreme Court race, and talking about some of these things philosophically. I think the media would cover it, number one. I think that you'd have a video, audio, and a transcript archive of where some of these judges stand philosophically on some of their issues. Do you think this is something that could be promoted or incorporated?
Well, I think where you begin to cross the line is when you have somebody come out and say, I favor a particular position on, let's say, abortion or right to bear arms or something of that ilk. Talking about general political philosophy as far as I adhere to precedent, I am not going to be an activist judge. Or I don't think a candidate would say this. I am going to be an activist judge.